Welcome to The Parish, a community of ordinary people walking together in the way of Jesus. The messages are just one part of the Sunday morning experience, and we hope you join us for worship and the rhythm experience soon. We meet at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Well, good morning. My name is Mitchell Franklin, and I go to church here, and I enjoy it. First off, today's Super Bowl Sunday. I need to read the room a little bit. Who here is going to root for the Rams today? Yikes. Here we go. We got one. That's interesting. And Bengals. Anyone? Okay. Bengals. It's kind of a weird year for the Super Bowl, right? A lot of the usual suspects aren't in it. No Patriots. No Tom Brady. Big teams like the Packers aren't in it. The Seahawks definitely aren't in it. I fit that in there just because I know Ryan's a big Seahawks fan, so I wanted to get there. Anyway, again, my name is Mitchell, and I'm going to share with you right now four of probably the biggest moments in my life. Well, they are the biggest moments in my life. You can guess what the order is. So I'm going to have some pictures come up. First moment, August 22nd, 2015. That's when Molly and I got married. Something I like to share about that time, and I feel bad, but I always have to share it, is the day before that, Andrew Farrington, who's in the crowd right now, helped me move up three stories, carrying a couch up one of those twisty things, right? He went, he helped me, did all that great stuff. The next day, he was not invited to my wedding, so that's pretty bad, but we're still friends, so we got over it. Next day, February 27th, 2021. That's when Ruby was born. Our baby, she's sleeping right back there on Molly. That was an incredible day. I still can't believe it's almost a year ago. That's incredible. Next day, this is a big one. December 13th, 2014. That's when Marcus Mariota won the Heisman Trophy. That was a huge day for me personally, the Franklin family. I can't believe we did it. I'm surprised he didn't thank me in his speech, but that was huge. And then the next day, January 1st, 2015, I have a video clip for this one.
Winston has all day, tries to escape, circles back, still alive. Loses the football, ball comes out, it's scooped up by the Ducks, and Tony Washington streaking to the end zone.
Wow. I mean, that, can you believe that? I still remember where I was, and it still brings me joy. It's kind of sad, like, looking at the first two pictures, I'm smiling more at that one. But that doesn't mean anything. That's just because it was a clip, you know? Come on. Jeez. Anyway, that's just a little intro to me. I was asked to share today about my perspective, something that the Lord has been teaching me in this moment or in my life. And I was like, it's weird that you'd ask me, but I'm excited to share a little bit. And I want to preface before I share anything. I really like this series because I feel like God uses people. Like, that's one of his biggest assets in this world. He speaks through people and experience, and his Holy Spirit moves through that. And so I'm super excited to be able to share with you. If I share something today that's like, I don't agree with that, then I apologize because I definitely don't have everything all figured out. But I think that's what's cool about this church. It's a group of ordinary people trying to walk in the way of Jesus. And I would say I am one of the most ordinary here. So buckle up. But today I'm going to take you through a journey that I went through a few years back and continue to go through, but it has to do with my physical health. And I'm someone who really loves control. I really love to know what's going on. I really love to know my future. I really love to know exactly why everything is happening. And I'm going to share about a moment in my life when I realized that I really do not have as much control as I thought that I did. So this may sound weird, but ever since I was a sophomore in high school, I always wanted to go to Azusa Pacific University. That was my dream school. I don't know why, maybe because it was in LA, and I thought it'd be fun to go there, and I wanted to get into Christian ministry. But in my senior year, I found out I was accepted into Azusa, and I was going to go. So I was thrilled. I had a really strong GPA at the time. I had a 3.2. Don't want to brag. Don't think of me any different, but I was carrying a good little 3.2 there. And so I was getting set to graduate. And then about a month before graduation, I started like feeling sick. And I went to the hospital because they thought I had appendicitis. So I went to the hospital, felt sick. They're like, "Oh, you don't have appendicitis. You're probably just, you know, have the little flu." So they sent me home. And then my doctor called my parents and said, "You know, Mitch has been losing a lot of weight. We should probably get him in and start some tests." So then this started the process of me going to the doctor, getting tests done, feeling sick, getting tests done. I think I missed like almost all of my last month of high school, and found out that I had a stomach disease, chronic. That's no fun. And I had never really dealt with any health things up until then. And so that was a moment where I was like, wow, like I am not in control of what's going on. I am not in control of this piece of my life. But we got some medication. I started doing a little bit better. I went to Azusa Pacific. I was thriving at Azusa Pacific. Not as far as my grades went. It was very hard for me to pay attention when I had a Disney pass. Grades aside, I was thriving. Sorry, my parents are actually here. But grades aside, I was thriving. I really felt like, man, I'm finally where, you know, I was always meant to be, because I had this plan for my life and it was finally coming through. And then I started getting sick again. I actually went to the hospital in California, was there for 4 or 5 days, got out, and then was in bed, missed a week of school, and then had to go back to the hospital. And at that point, my parents were kind of like, all right, this really doesn't make much sense. We need to bring you home. So I came home, and I think this kind of started one of the most challenging times of my life, because I was in a place where I felt like everything was going to plan, right? Everything was going on according to plan. And then all of a sudden, there was this situation where I had zero control of what was going on. I had zero control of my health. And even in this time when I thought things couldn't get worse, I ended up having a liver disease too, chronic liver disease, you know, weird. So that's two things now that I'm working against. And I remember that time just being in this place where, you know, I was 19 years old, and I could see all of my friends off at college going and doing their thing, all fulfilling their plans, all fulfilling what they thought, you know, was good for them in that moment. And I was just stuck in my room, feeling like I had zero control of what was going on around me, feeling like the plan that I had set out for my life wasn't happening. So now what? And I remember just feeling, going into a place of feeling so much anxiety, so much depression, and just so much like, I don't know what's next, God. Like, what can I do? It's those moments when you're sick, alone, in bed with nothing to do, where your mind can take you to places that are really challenging. And then what started next, I like to call the Mitchell Franklin Prayer Tour. My parents are amazing people, and I love them to death, and they really wanted to see me be healthy. And part of that was going and having people pray for healing, which I know that in a lot of instances, God does come through and there is healing. But in my story, that was not the case. I think one time we drove to Tacoma, and I had a lot of people touch my stomach, which felt kind of weird in the moment. But I did go through the prayer tour. Probably one of the most challenging things was I was prayed for by someone, and I think in that time I had gone and was prayed for so many times that I kind of put up this wall of like, it's just not going to work. And I remember being prayed for and just kind of having this face that the guy praying for me was like, yes, he's not into this. And he said, you know, I think the issue is you don't believe in God enough for this to happen. That was very damaging for me. I remember in that moment feeling very hurt, feeling very angry, and feeling very misunderstood, because all of a sudden it was my problem. So that was not good. In that, though, I had a lot of people who loved me and cared about me a lot of people who reached out to me, and a lot of people who I was connected with. And one person in particular, his name is Jim McGuire. I grew up with the son. He was one of my best friends growing up. But he is a very, very good person. And he would kind of take me in for impromptu counseling sessions. And I remember specifically one moment where my whole perspective was shifted. And it's not a perspective that I have now, and like I'm always rocking it, and you know, I know exactly why I'm sick. I got this. That's not what I want to share with you today, but it's kind of something that I'm always striving for and always thinking about as I go through the health struggles that I go through today. But I remember sitting there, super down, not knowing why in the world everything was going on, and he looked me dead in the face, and he said, "Mitchell, I hope you know that God didn't make you sick. I hope you know that he didn't put this evil in your life. But I also hope that you know that he is in this with you, that he doesn't waste anything, and that he's going to work in you in this time. So I hope that in this, in your pain, in your sickness, in whatever's going on, I hope that you can pay attention to the way that he's working around you. I know it might be hard, but I hope that you can see him in this. And I hope that you know that he has a greater plan for you and your life, and that he's bigger than the circumstance that you're in right now. He's bigger than your sickness, and he's with you." And again, that was such a huge perspective shift, because the whole time I was just focused on my health. I was focused on other people running ahead of me. I was focused on all this stuff that, I mean, honestly, it was fine that I was, you know, in that moment, because everything was going wrong. But I was so caught up looking at that I really do think I was missing a lot of the way that the Lord was working in my circumstance, in my situation. And for me, it became this thought of, you know, maybe God is a little bit bigger than I give him credit for. Maybe he really is in this. I mean, it's hard to see right now, but maybe I can shift my focus a little bit more and see that there is a God who's bigger than my circumstance in this present moment. And I'm going to share it. So I worked for Young Life for a long time, and so we like to share out of the gospel. And the gospel is great. But I'm going to share with you a story that you've probably heard a million times, some of you maybe for the first time. But I'm going to focus on the disciples' posture in this moment, because I think it's so much of my posture in the moment that I was going through, and I think it's ours as well. So we're going to talk about Jesus calming the storm. Has anyone ever heard that story before? It's a good one. Mark 4, chapter 35, Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. "On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go across to the other side of the lake.' So after leaving the crowd, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat, and other boats were with him. Now a great windstorm developed, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was nearly swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?' So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Be quiet, calm down.' Then the wind stopped, and it was dead calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you cowardly? Do you still not have faith?' They were overwhelmed by fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him.'" I like this story because, again, I just, in this moment, I see myself so much in the disciples' shoes. They felt, in this time, they felt out of control, right? They felt like they were in a situation where there was nothing that they could do, where they were helpless, where the wind was cracking over them, the waves were cracking over them, and they were so scared. And in that, they're like, "Jesus, what are you doing? Like, get up, do something." Which is funny as you think of, when you think about it, because Jesus had a pretty good track record before this. Before this time, he had cleansed a leper, healed a man who couldn't walk in Capernaum, and restored a withered hand. And the list just goes on and on. So there are many examples of the way that they had seen Jesus do incredibly miraculous things. They've seen him be faithful, right? They've seen him work miracles. And in this moment, yet they're still so overwhelmed by what's going on around them that they forget about the man who's in the boat with him, who's so much greater than what present circumstance they're in. And I don't say that because, you know, Jesus is going to stand up and, you know, get rid of any storm that you're going through, because that's not always reality, right? Like, if that were the case, I don't think I'd be sick right now. And there's a lot of people who are still sick and going through a lot of stuff, right? But I say this because it's so important for us to remember that there is a God who is so much bigger than what we're going through in it with us, right? We're not alone in what we're going through. And that's really hard to see, but I think that's super important for us. And it's super important for me. Wow. So, I can't believe I'm page 3 already. So what does it look like as we go through our life with this posture, looking at a God who's bigger than our circumstances? Again, this is something that I've been working through and I continue to work on. But for me to fix my eyes on a God that is so much bigger than what I'm going through, I think of three different things. And the first thing is a childlike faith. What does it mean to have a childlike faith? Molly and I are recent parents, and our baby Ruby, and I don't know why, but she relies and trusts in me to care for her at all times, which if she could think, might not be the best idea because I don't know what I'm doing half of the time, right? But Ruby just, you know, she trusts me. She relies on me because, I mean, I think in her eyes, like I see such a bigger picture than she does, right? The reality of what's going on is so small to her, but I can just see so much of what's ahead. My perspective is so much greater. So for me, I always think about, now that I have a kid, I feel like I'm just learning about it more and more, right? Like I see myself so much in Ruby, and I mean, I'm not going to equate myself to God because I'm definitely not the God of parenting, but just think about how much greater God's perspective is than my own. And what does it look like for us to rely on a God so much in the moment, in our challenges and our struggles in life in general? And that doesn't mean we have to have things figured out, right? But what does it look like to have that childlike faith in a God who's with us and for us? So that's number one. Number two is keep your eyes open for how God is moving now and how he has moved in the past. I'll say it again. One of the biggest weapons in this world that God uses is working through people. The way that God has worked in my life through the people around me has been just incredible. And so it's so important for us to focus on that, to see that in our interactions with people. Like I said, Jim McGuire, something he probably wouldn't even remember sharing with me, completely changed my life and my perspective. And the Lord showed up in such incredible ways there. My grandma, Grandma Hank, she probably taught me the most about who Jesus is and what his love is like just by living and being in my life. So I would encourage you as you're sitting here, whatever you're going through, whatever trial, challenge it may be, what does it look like for you to lean on the people in your life and truly look for the way that the Lord is working in them and through them in your life and in this moment? Also, something that was huge for me in this moment was just like worship, right? Like I'm gonna have Ryan come up and sing a song later on, not now, don't worry, but a song where the Lord showed up and completely impacted and changed my life through worship, through time just spent with him, just meditating or going on walks or whatever. Just tune your eyes to see what the Lord is doing around you. Another thing that I would say, and this is something that I'm not very good at, but I did try and do, and I'm going to continue to try and do, is to take time reflecting on what's going on in your life and how the Lord may have shown up. I think it's super easy just to move on from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, that we don't really see how the Lord showed up in our life throughout the day. So take that time. And one really crucial thing that I did that I need to be better at now is just write down the way that the Lord has shown up in your life. Like maybe it's something, a page in your journal, and it's just victories and whatever you want it to be. Write down the way that the Lord has been faithful, the ways that he's been faithful, the ways that he showed up, the way that he has walked with you in the midst of whatever you're going through. Because when you go into the next storm, when you go into the next trial, when you enter the next thing in your life, you can reflect on that and know that you have a God who goes with you and before you and who's been with you in the past. I think about maybe the disciples, if they could, you know, if they had like a little note section on their iPhone when they were getting crashed over by the winds and waves. Maybe if they looked, healed a leper, let the lame man walk. Maybe they would have had a little bit more confidence in what was going on, right? And the last thing I'll share is let God meet you in your hurt, doubt, and struggles. Don't just suck it up or put on a brave face or say the classic Christian lines. The world is hard. This is what I put. The world is hard. Life sucks sometimes, and things don't make sense often. So let the Lord into that. I love like reading through the Psalms, and that was something I did a lot when I was sick, because it's just that. You know, it starts with, what in the heck is going on? Where are you, God? I don't see you. And then it ends with, but you've been with me in the past, and I know that you're going to come with me again. And again, I'm not saying all this stuff because you're going to start, you know, looking at focusing on God and things are going to be great and easy and things are going to go away. Because like I said, life is very tricky. Life is very challenging. So invite God into that. It's okay not to have the answers. It's okay to have no idea what's going on. It's okay to wake up some days and just be like, I don't see God anywhere. That's fine. I think that's a posture that is real and honest and that the Lord, I think, loves. Andrew Farrington and I lead a group of seniors in high school, and just this last week we had campaigners Bible study with them, and we were going around talking about, hey, what has it been like for you as you've, you know, walk through this year? How's your relationship with the Lord doing? And we had two people who shared that it's been super hard for them, and they don't really find themselves wanting to go to Scripture because of, with everything going on in their life, it just doesn't make sense that there could be a God who loves them and cares about them. And that was very hard to hear. And in that moment, I was tempted just to be like, no, you're wrong, right? They're 100%. But I think in those moments, like, it may sound weird, but I think God has them in a place where huge transformation is about to happen. I think it's in those moments, like, when you're like, God, what's going on? Where are you? That he shows up in the most unique and incredible ways. So I hope that you have some sort of encouragement, or not. Maybe it's no. I don't know. But in the midst of life circumstances, I have found so much hope in the fact that my perspective is so limited and that I have a God who's so much bigger than I could imagine, who's shown up in the past and who continues to show up again. And even in times when I don't see it, I trust that he's there. And so I hope as you go throughout this week, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it may be, that you would tune your eyes to maybe see a glimpse of how God is showing up. And that you would remember the ways that he's shown up in the past and walk forward with more confidence in that. Because it really doesn't make sense sometimes. I'm going to read out of an Advent book, because it really spoke to me. And I hope it speaks to you too. And this is a chapter when it's talking about the light. Jesus is the light. I'm just going to jump halfway through it. Who we are is deeper than where we find ourselves in this moment. And Jesus illuminates that deeper identity. I'll say it again. Who we are is deeper than where we find ourselves in this moment. And Jesus illuminates that deeper identity. John writes that the Word gave life to everything and everyone. And then this Word's life brought light to everyone. Another way to say this is there is a giver of this life, and then the giver of this life joins that life, and his life brings light to all life. Don't get lost in the metaphor. Put simply, The function of light is to help us see more clearly. Jesus' life helps us see our own lives more clearly. There are many ways this happens, but for one, his being human affirms our being human. It affirms we are not supposed to be anywhere else but here, now, in this life, in this world. From being born into it to disappearing from it. This is the life we are asked to live. You are supposed to be here. For another, he affirms that we, in some mysterious way, are an amalgamation of something seen and unseen. That we came from somewhere and we are going somewhere, just like he did. And this physical world is the doorway to that somewhere. And God is not only present to us there, God is right alongside us here. Our invitation to Advent starts here, now. And thank God, because being here now feels really complicated and hard and sad at times, with a lot of loss, right? It hasn't been that long since we all lost a normal way of life. Some of us are still recovering what we lost. But what gives me hope in this Advent season is the reminder that everyone can be taken away except that hidden part of me. Whether I lose my savings, my house, my title, or my very livelihood, what is untakeable is the part of me that Jesus illuminates. The deeper self that was woven into this world, but is anchored in a much larger world. And the gift of my life is a doorway to a much larger reality. And Jesus is the light that shows me the way. May you rest in the peace that darkness can never extinguish, the light that has been given to you. So I'm going to have Ryan lead us in a song that I'd say Jim McGuire's words had a huge impact on my life, but this song by United Pursuit had an even larger impact as I was going through stuff. So take it away, PR.
I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. And I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. Nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. Nothing I hold on to. Something I hold on to. Give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll
We appreciate you listening online to our talks from previous weeks. For more information about our church or to see where we are currently meeting, please visit our website at www.theparish.us.